You're listening to Game Play with Matthew Kaws on TSN 1050. We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it.
Our Tuesday top five is blowing up. In honor of the Buffalo Bills and that painful loss against KC, we threw it out there. Top five most painful sports losses of your time, with the one caveat being that you cannot pick the Leafs more than once. Courtney Barrett writes in, this is a list. Falcons being up 28-3. University of Miami losing the BCS title game to Ohio State. And that was on a very dubious pass interference penalty.
That's the Willis McGahee one too, right?
That was the Willis McGahee one, yep. The Portland Trailblazers, Game 7, 2000 in the Western Conference Finals. Oilers up 35-3 in the third quarter. The wild card against the Bills and the Braves winning the NL West in 1991. Great list there. Joining me now from Covers.com, senior betting analyst, Andrew Cayley. Andrew, let's start on a downer. Do you have one? You could pick, like, what's one playoff loss that just still punches you in the gut?
Game 6 of the ALCS against the Kansas City Royals, top of the 10th, and Ben Revere gets that strike call that was at his eyeballs, yep. And they don't get across that tying run. And I will never, ever forget that strike call, which completely changed the at-bat, and it still sticks with me to this moment at this point.
That is a good one. Spoiler alert, on my list, I have that series, but I have a different game in a different moment.
So, oh, what is it? You're not going to give it away yet. Okay.
I had my Tuesday top five. I got to.
Sorry.
Yeah.
3:15, Andrew, tune in.
Jump on the mic here for a second. What time are we doing that, producer Austin?
3:15, Andrew. You can tune right in. TSN 1050, iHeartRadio.
There you go.
I'll make sure to do that.
Good job by you. Andrew, what was your biggest betting takeaway from the last weekend in the NFL playoffs?
Those first seeds were certainly a little overrated going into this weekend, and teams that got fantastic pass rushing in that game, in their games, were the ones that succeeded the most, I'd say, excluding the Titans, of course. The inexplicable nature of sacking a quarterback 9 times, but still allowing him to throw for over 300 yards and complete 73% of his passes is one of the most mind-boggling stats I can ever remember in a playoff football game. There was so much unexpected stuff in this weekend. The way the Packers drove down the field on that opening drive against the Niners, it looked like they were going to run away with that game. They were driving in the second drive before a fumble kind of like changed the Niners' fortunes, and didn't look like the Niners were going to score at all. And then we had the big comeback between the Bucks and Rams there, of course, and the caveat was just this final game against the Bills and Chiefs. I personally was a little happy for the outcome just because I had a preseason Chiefs Super Bowl ticket that I've been holding pretty close to my chest here all season. But there is a lot to take away. There's a lot to unwrap from all of this. I think the Bengals would be bigger. They wouldn't be such long shots this week if it wasn't for a terrible offensive line. Is this the time for Matthew Stafford? Finally, he got over a big opponent in Tom Brady here. Can the Chiefs get back and kind of reclaim the throne? There's just a lot to take away here.
You know what I would love to have seen? How many people bet LiveLine bet on Green Bay after they scored that first touchdown and the 49ers in the second quarter had minus yards? And how many people bet on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the moment Leonard Fournette crossed the goal line and the game tied at 27? Like, to the kids out there with the live betting, be careful. That's all I'm going to say. Be careful.
My timeline was full of people like saying, this is now, like, go jump on Brady. This isn't over yet. And all the 28-3 memes were popping up all over my timeline. Nobody could stop talking about the Super Bowl there against the Falcons. I did another thing. Live betting was a big part of this weekend, though. That's a good point to bring up. I certainly bet the Chiefs to win that game the second they went down 7-0, because I didn't see the value in either side in that game because it could have gone either way, and it definitely could have gone either way. And I would have bet the Bills on the money line if they had gone down 7-0 or sort of thing. So
yeah,
definitely keep a line on those odds where you're not really sure either way. And I think that's kind of what we'll carry into this week too, because there's some interesting lines this week as well.
Well, that's actually kind of where I was going to go to next. We're joined by Andrew Cayley, a senior betting analyst with Covers.com. And we'll get to – I want to get your thoughts on Raptors, Charlotte, and maybe some fun prop bets in the Lakers-Brooklyn Nets game. But any early thoughts on these lines? I think it's still Rams by 3.5, Chiefs favored by 7. That line, the Chiefs, that's gone up. That was 6.5 for a lot of the time. But just any early thoughts on these early lines?
I was a little surprised to see the Chiefs line this high, just considering the stats say the Bengals probably shouldn't be here at this point, but they're here, and Joe Burrow just keeps he's a special guy. I think that's what it comes down to. And like I said before, if they don't go into this offseason and draft 8 or 9 offensive linemen in this NFL draft, then they're doing something wrong, I think, because that's basically all they need. Maybe a few fixes on the defensive front as well. But it was interesting to see the line this big. I probably wouldn't touch the Bengals still until it gets to 7.5, but I don't know if it gets there. And vice versa, I would take the Chiefs at -6.5, I believe. But once again, I think this is a situation where the Chiefs probably give up a score early to the Bengals just because that seems to be their habit in playoff games. And then I'll try to find a little more value in the live betting lines with the Chiefs then. When it comes to the other lines, a little surprised to see the Niners getting more than a field goal. I know they're on the road, but they've done well against the Rams for the last little while, have had their numbers. They had their number this season as well. So to be getting more than a field goal, that defense that looked a little wary at first really held Aaron Rodgers in check for most of that game. Nick Bosa and Fred Warner had big games. But you can say the same thing about the Rams, too. Aaron Donald and what looked like a healthy Von Miller. Having a guy like Von Miller was alongside Aaron Donald is just a problem for any NFL team. It'll be interesting to see how Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan scheme for that. But at more than a field goal, I'll probably take the points with the Niners.
Yeah, a couple thoughts. One, I'm kind of hoping the Bengals go up 10-0 so I can get some value betting on the Chiefs.
Exactly.
And the other, I think the reason why it's Rams 3.5, it was just those images of George Kittle hobbling off the field, Trent Williams hobbling off the field, Deebo Samuel, and I know he got that critical 7-yard run late to set up the game-winning field goal, but he was all banged up. I think that's part of it. I think people are wondering, at what point do the 49ers just all fall apart?
Yeah, that is a great question, and like I said, you don't want to be falling apart against the defenders that the Rams kind of bring to the table.
Yeah. So that's I think that's the concern for me. But again, that's not a Tuesday problem. That's a Friday problem. I got to deal with that. Moving over to the NBA. I don't know what you usually use for points you'll give a team for home court advantage. I imagine you throw that out the window when it comes to a Raptors home game with no fans.
It's been too bad for them after the year in Tampa Bay, and then to have the no fans there as well. It's at a complete disadvantage when you consider the rest of the NBA, of course. But they had kind of been playing a little better in front of the no home fans. They got off to a pretty poor start against the spread at home when there were fans there, and now that fans haven't been there, they've actually been a little better against the spread. My bigger concern going into the game, this game against the Hornets, is the Raptors are a very good in theory defensive team. Like, they can switch all over their place. They're long. They create turnovers, but sometimes they get too aggressive on that end of the floor, I find, and that ends up leaving guys open on the perimeter. You see opposing teams just get wide open threes far too often, and that's this Hornets team is not the team you want to do that against. I believe they're top 5 in both 3-point attempts and 3-point shooting percentage. And have a lot of guys who can hurt you. It's not just one or two guys. It's almost that entire roster that can shoot from deep. So that would concern me a little bit going into this game.
Yeah, I'm kind of like leaning. I don't know if you have any plays on this one, but Charlotte, the line I have, they're a 3.5-point underdog, considering these teams are fairly even. And, you know, in their 19-11 against the spread when they're an underdog of 2 points or more, I'm kind of leaning towards taking Charlotte. The over-under, it's a high number, 221.5, but that is, as you kind of mentioned, because the style of play that Charlotte does. But right now, I'm kind of leaning still the under, and I'll take Charlotte, and I'll take those 3.5.
I actually agree with you, Matt. The 3.5. I just don't have a lot of faith in the Raptors when it comes to covering a spread right now, just because they've been so Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, they have those, they lose, you'll throw that Detroit loss out the window just because Dwayne Casey owns their soul. But the other three losses in those four loss stretch before this one to the Blazers here was they were all by 5 points or less, and then they finally kind of look like they get right against the Wizards. And then they come out and fall flat on their face against a Blazers team where they were 8-point favorites again. So they're a really hard team to kind of figure out at this point. So I like the under in this one as well. Charlotte's offense has actually taken a bit of a step back recently. They ranked 23rd in scoring over their last 7 games. And while they play at a high pace, they are streaking, and that can tend to some up and down performances. So, against the Raptors team that can defend well when they keep their assignments and they don't over rotate at times. I like that. And of course, we all know about the Raptors issues in their own half court offense and Fred and Pascal not getting too much support. So 222 is a pretty big number, and I like the under there. The other bet I like here is a prop, and I'm going to take LaMelo Ball to go over 2.5 made 3-pointers. You can get that at about plus 145, which is kind of ridiculous. He kind of embodies this whole Charlotte streakiness. Nature. He's hit 3 or more threes in 8 of his last 16 games, sort of thing. So to get the plus money at that high a number, I kind of like that. And I think he's a guy who could hit a few shots in this one as well.
Yeah. Also, keep an eye on the over for assists for LaMelo. That's at 7.5. And I'm still winning more than I'm losing on my over assists for Scottie Barnes. He is at 3.5. And if the Raptors can get involved in a track meet, that's a lot of passing. Barnes, we've seen it. Just his ability to find open guys is, I think, better than we expected. Moving over to maybe the most interesting game of the night, Lakers at Brooklyn. Even though, because it's at Brooklyn, that means no Kyrie. Maybe this is a simple one. I like Harden. Over 28.5, that's at minus 116. Points, rebounds, assists, that number is 49.5. So for people that don't know, that means he has to, you add up his points, his rebounds, and assists. And if that number adds up to higher than 49, you win. That's at minus 110. So I'm kind of liking the Harden bets. I know he was bad in his last game, but he put up 36 against the Lakers. And he's all Brooklyn has tonight.
Exactly. He's all they have. Obviously, you mentioned still no Kyrie at home and no Kevin Durant still, which is too bad for them. I'm also going to go with one of my favorite bets when the Lakers play is Russell Westbrook over turnovers. I got it earlier today, and it's quite juiced right now, so I don't recommend it this much. If you can find a better number, I'd still probably take it. It's at 2.5 right now, but that's juiced to almost minus 180, so I would play that with caution. If you could get the 3.5, I'd probably still bet that as well. I think the Nets will be jacked up for this game at home, and it could cause a few turnovers. And Russell Westbrook just seems to be at a loss, to put it nicely, right now for him. So I love fading the Russell Westbrook having a good game scenario.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now at minus 189 for the over for turnovers. By the way, the triple-double to get one is at plus 382. Could part of that triple-double be double-digit turnovers? Because then your chances of getting it go even higher.
I actually don't know that answer. I would have to check with the sportsbook rule to see if the turnovers count as the stat.
Come on,
or the triple-double. Right, yeah, he gets 10, right?
It's right there.
To cast that out for us. Yeah, exactly.
Hey. Do we know, and we'll go in a second, but the Anthony Davis. Do we know if Anthony Davis, they say he's probably going to play tonight? I don't know if you've heard anything more on that, or is this just a game-time decision?
I haven't heard anything about Anthony Davis at this point, other than that he is, I have him listed here as questionable still to play. Obviously, getting him back is a big deal for them, but I don't know if he how he factors into this game a whole lot, if he's still kind of nursing those injuries. And you know, he's going to be on minutes restrictions no matter what he does, because there's I guess they're going to need him to win some more games, because they're not winning enough games right now in general. But he's just been on the shelf for so long for the last two seasons that it'll be interesting to see how much they use him in this matchup.
Yep, no, it's true, and it does make me wonder. Once he does come back and he looks healthy, I'm going to kind of lean towards under for LeBron points, but over for his assists. And again, just going on the game script of Anthony gets scoring more, and if he's scoring more, a lot of it's going to be because LeBron James is such a good passer. Andrew, exactly. Always appreciate from covers.com. And yes, at 3:15, Jays and Royals, I'll just say prominently featured. I'm going to leave it at
good. Okay, I'll make sure to tune in.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you, too.
That is Andrew Cayley from covers.com. All right, on the other side of the show, let's hear from Sheldon Keefe. Let's get into some hockey because it is fascinating, the game tomorrow night against Anaheim. What's happening with Muzzin, new lines in practice. So a lot to talk about. And Tavares, you know, he's pretty honest about his assessment of his play. So we get into that in a moment right here on Gameplay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause. Jay from Etobicoke writes in, Leafs, Kings, Gretzky, high stick on Gilmore. Yep, if you're going to do your list of top five worst sports losses for you emotionally as a fan, that is going to be on a lot of people's lists. Jordan from Mississauga writes in, you want to playoff losses we like the least? Patriots losing to the Giants. Perfect season ruined, and they lost to the Giants. Did I mention they lost to Eli bleeping Manning and the Giants? Oh, Jordan, yes, as a Giants fan, I do remember that game. I remember that game quite well. Chris from Peterborough writes in, the Bartman game. Okay, going off topic for a second. Austin, what do you know of the Steve Bartman game?
Oh, Matt, that series, that Florida Marlins team in 2003 was my team. So I know a lot about the Bartman game.
Okay, I'm going to get into my car. I'm at Whitestone Lake, 35 minutes.
Oh, come on. Dontrelle Willis,
35
Miguel
minutes
Cabrera,
east of Perry Sound.
Pug Rodriguez at catcher. It was a great team. Come
I know
on,
it was
Matt.
A great team. I know it was a great team. I'm going to hop in the car. It's going to take... Actually, you're going to be gone by the time I'm there. I'm going to come there and slap you. Okay, here's what was horrible about that 03 playoffs.
Yeah.
We were all set for Cubs and Red Sox.
Oh,
Neither one of them had won the World Series. Boston won in 2004. Cubs would win in 2016. Instead, we had the Grady Little managed Boston team where he left Pedro in too long, and then the Red Sox blew it against the Yankees. You had the Cubs blowing it against a very talented and entertaining Marlins team. But we were so close to history.
That's fair. I didn't know the history at the time, the context. I wasn't aware of it. Is that the Aaron Boone Game 7 walk-off
yes.
home run, too? Oh,
yes.
That's a bad loss. Speaking of bad losses, poor Red Sox fans. It's all right. You got four titles since then.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing fine. All right, but yeah, text us at 10:50:50. You can tweet me at mcause56. And I'll say right now, my number six on my list was the lead-up to WrestleMania 2. Hulk Hogan is the champ. And he's taking on the magnificent Morocco. And King Kong Bundy comes in the ring. And the two of them do a number on Hulk Hogan's ribs. It was a travesty of justice. That was number six on my losses. But getting to the Maple Leafs, let's first start with Jeff O'Neill. Yesterday on Overdrive, talking about the Leafs' response in their weekend win over the Islanders.
I thought there was a couple things that I liked, Gino. One, the coach got their attention. Through an 82-game season, there's ups and downs, and sometimes you need to make a statement, especially in the media market of Toronto, where you can get the guy's attention and show everyone that he's not happy. The team went out there in Long Island, and they did perform, and they responded to that. They took it personally that the coach's comments were negative about them and they wanted to show that they weren't that, and they also did that. Second thing I like about it is they got Jack Campbell some rest. You see in his play, and Noodles is the expert, he would know a lot more than me, but I just think it was time for him to take a seat and watch and get some rest, maybe take another one on a Wednesday so he has that time to get that practice time and to get his game back in shape, because coming down the stretch and into the playoffs, he is going to be the guy. He's proven that he's going to be the guy for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So just get some practice, get his game back in shape, and get back on track.
By the way, I wouldn't mind if Mrazek played again. I mean, the last game was Saturday. You're off for a couple days if this big pitcher helps Campbell. 100% I'm good with that. Austin, you wanted to steer the conversation in a different place beyond William Nylander at right wing.
Absolutely. Jeff O'Neill, fantastic analysis there, as always. The man on Overdrive. On Overdrive yesterday, they were talking about calling people big guy.
Yeah.
And I am somebody who isn't necessarily the biggest in stature, and I am a big-time big guy sayer. I have never meant in a derogatory way, Matt. Do you interpret when people call you big guy as a derogatory thing? Because I've never meant it that way. It's meant as a compliment. It's meant to uplift people. It's meant to bring people up. Like, hey, big guy, how you doing? Not that you're a slob or anything like that. And that's how it sounded like it was being interpreted as.
I think, you know, maybe, let's see. So big guy, I think big guy is only bad if you think someone is taking a shot at your physical stature.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's it. I will say if I ever refer to anyone as big guy, it means I forgot their name.
Yeah, you know, most of the time that'd be the case for me too. Or
big
it's
guy.
My friend. It's like, you did a good job there, big guy. Proud of you. And it's never demeaning. Just wanted to clarify that. I think I've called Jeff O'Neill big guy before.
Okay, you have to stop that. Now, do you have a go-to when you forget someone's name?
Buddy. Yeah. Buddy. Oh, yeah, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Pal. Chief. You know,
Chief. Chief's a great one, yep.
Chief works. Or just, hey, there he goes. I will say this story real quick. I went on a date once in university. This is a long time ago. This was like 95. Let's go 95. And I forgot the girl's name during the date. This was in Hess Village in the Hamilton area. And I told her I had to go to the bathroom because this was before cell phones. And I, or, you know, there was big giant ones, but not the ones, you know, the smaller ones, flip phones. I ran to my car because I had her name and phone number written on a sheet of paper in my glove compartment. I forgot her name. I ran to the car, read her name, came back, and just used it like 17 times in a row to try to make up for the fact that I was a complete idiot.
Yeah, better than calling her the wrong name, Matt, I can contest to. That never goes over well.
Oh, did you do that?
Yeah, I have done that in the past, I don't recommend it. I do not recommend it.
I don't recommend it either.
If it's somebody in your past.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, then you're doomed. Yeah, that's.
But the Maple Leafs.
What's that?
I was just trying to segue back to the Maple Leafs. Sorry.
That was a horrible segue by you. One name that you might have forgotten because you haven't seen him in a while is Jake Muzzin. That's how you do a radio segue. That was C-minus at best. Here is the head coach, Sheldon Keefe, talking about Jake Muzzin's status.
He's feeling better. Obviously, his involvement in today's practice, at least the first half of it, is a good indication of where he's at and making progress. I think anytime you're recovering from an injury like this, you've got boxes to check along the way. Today's practice was one of those boxes to get him back going again. I haven't got an update in terms of how he felt after practice. I would say it's given the process that players coming back from concussions go through, I would say that Wednesday's game is probably a stretch for him at this point, but they'll continue to monitor him and see how he handled things today. I haven't got a report on that.
And guessing by just how the Leafs have been in terms of bringing guys back slowly, we saw it with Austin Matthews, I don't expect him tomorrow night against Anaheim. But when he does return, from a betting perspective, if he comes back and, you know, is playing, when him and Hall, if they can become, again, 70% of what they were last year, from a betting perspective, you can lean more Leafs, you can lean more to unders. So there's definitely betting implications of getting back a healthy Jake Muzzin.
And from the betting perspective, do you think if we see Mrazek more, we could see the Leafs getting more favorable odds, like more plus values, more less juice on the negative side as well?
You'd think so, at least for the first little bit. Yeah. But then if they go on a run with Mrazek, then that's going to go away mighty fast because everyone loves betting on the Toronto Maple Leafs. As we know, their odds of winning the Stanley Cup are way too high. Again, it's not against them. It's against what they have to get through to get there. All right. On the other side, Terry Koshatta covers the Maple Leafs, so the Toronto Sun's going to join us. And I'm going to start in a different direction. Not on line changes, not on goalies, not on Muzzin. There is one Austin Matthews statistic that, to me, is the most confounding statistic in the NHL. In the entire NHL, it involves Austin Matthews. We'll get into that next right here on Gameplay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. The big breaking news is Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, has stepped away, resigned. He is no longer the coach of the Saints. A shocking, kind of a shocking turnaround, considering it was only a couple of weeks ago he was talking about how he was still in it for the long haul. A tough year for that team, who, you know, could have gone to the playoffs if not for, I mean, think about how different things could be. Let's think about this for a second. We're going to have Terry Koshon from the Toronto Sun is going to join us in a bit. But today is National What If Day. And I know that because intern Chris gave us that information. And we were thinking about, like, what ifs in the world of Toronto sports. What if the 49ers didn't come back after being down 17-0 to the Rams in Week 18, winning in overtime? They lose that game. The Saints are in the playoffs. It's not the 49ers. How does that change everything with the Green Bay Packers? Are they still alive? Do we not have the entire social media world dunking on Aaron Rodgers? The Aaron Rodgers speculation. Maybe he's not here. And then let's say the Saints, they make the playoffs and maybe win a game. Does that change anything? Anyway, joining me now from the Toronto Sun, it is Terry Koshon. Terry, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I am doing very well. Doing very well. Thank you for joining. Yeah. I wanted to start here. I saw this stat the other day. Austin Matthews has drawn two penalties at even strength.
Yep.
Over 500 players have drawn more than him. I don't know if you have a theory on it or, like, I saw this stat yesterday and it blew me away considering the skill, size, and speed of Austin Matthews.
Makes no sense. Period.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. This came up earlier in the season, Matt, and I can't remember who it was that said this to us. I can't remember if it was Keith or somebody, but, you know, with some of these guys who don't get calls, and, you know, it's, I don't think it's limited to Austin Matthews as far as superstars across the NHL go, for a lot of them. It's just that they just have their ability to get out of the fray. But that, you know, that only goes so far. It doesn't make any sense. I don't have an answer for you, a good one on that, because it doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't.
No, by the way, that in and of itself is a good answer. You cover this team every day. You've been covering the Leafs in hockey for ages. The fact that you don't have any sort of answer. By the way, Terry, I appreciate that honesty versus when a guest or someone comes up with something to sound smart. When the fact is, it's absolutely nuts. Michael Bunting has drawn 22 of them, and I know he's got a skill for that, but Matthews only has two is just remarkable. All right, let's go on to some of the news of the day, and I understand why Sheldon Keefe is doing this. He's not going to have, you know, this is the most practice time he's had in ages, and he'll probably have in ages, but having Nylander on a third line with David Kampf and Kerfoot, Marner, Tavares, Mikheyev, and then on the first line, Andre Kasha is back, him with Matthews, and Michael Bunting. Just any sort of big picture thoughts of what the Leafs head coach is doing?
I think it's fine. He has, you said it. Well, a couple of things, Matt. He has the time to do it and the luxury of where the Leafs are in the standings. So we know they're in the playoffs. The eight teams in the Eastern Conference are set. It's about where they finish. And, you know, right now the Bruins are creeping down the Leafs' necks a bit. But, you know, the Leafs have won 7 of their past 10 games. They're in a good spot right now. He can afford to do this. He has everybody healthy. I don't have an issue with it. I don't know why people would. There's more than half the season to go. Find out now when you can what works and what doesn't. We know that when the All-Star break is over, Matt, it's going to be busy for the Leafs is an understatement. Starting on February 7th, that Monday at home against Carolina, you're more or less playing every other night. But so find out this now if these things will work together. And And, you know, if they do, great. You go back to what made you good before, and that's fine too. But, you know, you can fall back on some of these options if you have to when you're getting into some of these games and it is getting busy. This whole, like, people are concentrating too much, though, on this whole Nylander on the third line thing. Like he said to us yesterday, Matt, a lot of the even strength time, ice time is not going to change here. And I think that's what you have to key on. The 5-on-5 time is not going to change for a guy like Nylander. And, you know, anyone who views it as a demotion or anything else like that just isn't looking at the bigger picture here. And listen, would you rather have this or a coach that has no option but to have his best players on the same line? You keep your fingers crossed and hope like hell that it works, because if it doesn't, you have no other options. You don't want that.
No.
This speaks to their depth. It speaks to the ability to move guys around. You know, and again, whether it quote-unquote works or not, I have a hard time believing that to an extent this won't work. I think it's fine, you know, and see what happens tomorrow against Anaheim. You like it or you don't. You stick with it. You don't against Detroit Saturday. You go from there. You got the home and home with the Devils for the All-Star game. So
yeah,
there is some time to look at this, and I say, good, go for it.
Yeah.
Do it.
I agree. I think the only reason it comes up is because there's always been this weird relationship everyone in the Toronto hockey market has had with Nylander, and there's always the battle lines drawn with him. He's been so polarizing, and usually the arguments back and forth are wildly predictable, which makes him very boring. So I think that's why it gets more attention. For me, I just go full nerd on this. I'm just curious to see what Nylander, how much can he drive a line? And Kerfoot's having, you know, his best year, and Kampf has been a nice addition. Like, I'm curious to see what that line looks like. Can it be dangerous? We know, you know, Matthews is dangerous, really, with whoever you put with him. I'm just curious to see how good that line can be.
Yeah, I am too. And you know what? The other part of it too is, you know, Bunting and Kostya do good things with Matthews, Matt.
Yeah.
So, and not that Nylander doesn't or Marner doesn't. We know that they do. But the fact is, when you can, you know, again, get back to the depth idea and look at, you know, of the four or five forwards that Kyle Dubas added last summer, everything has really worked out quite nicely except for Nick's Richie. So now you can afford to do, again, these things with the Buntings and Koshas, and Kemp has been great. I mean, you know, would you like to see a little more offense out of him, or production, whatever you want to call it, but that's not what he necessarily brings. Will that bring Nylander down? I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. Like you say, the chemistry has been there with Kerfoot. And let's see what Nylander can do in that role. Does he start taking a few face-offs? He might. I mean, we'll have to see it. But, you know, Kampf is such a good face-off man for the Leafs. You know, I don't necessarily see that that's going to happen, although, you know, Keith kind of alluded to it yesterday. But, yeah, no, what it speaks to is Keith's confidence in the group that he has. And you know what, Matt? The thing is, this would have happened not a long time ago. I don't know how many months or weeks ago, had they been healthy and had COVID not made a comeback. Because, you know, Keith said to us, I've been thinking about this since training camp. This is something I wanted to do since training camp. So he's just getting to it now because he has a full complement of forwards. And, you know, good on him to see it through and see where it goes.
Last question for you, and again, joined by Terry Koshan from the Toronto Sun. The other topic, and, you know, we talk about things a little bit more when you have an extra day off, so it gets more attention. You know, every player goes through slumps, and, you know, Tavares came out and said, you know, I've got to do a better job. One goal, one assist over the last six games. No one is going to say this is a big deal, but just curious your thoughts on the recent play of John Tavares.
Yeah, I don't think it's an overly big deal either, because consistency has been there for him throughout the season. And no, you know what, the points haven't fallen for him in the past half dozen games. They really haven't for Nylander either, Matt, but it's not a concern. Again, we're not even up to the halfway point here. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the Maple Leafs are winning hockey games right now. So if Tavares and Nylander haven't been bringing it production-wise, you know, other people are getting it done, because even these games where they've blown the leads that everyone was getting so upset about last week, and rightfully so, you don't want to see it. But they won a couple of those and lost another one in overtime. So people were getting it done. And, you know, the fact that Nylander and Tavares haven't been filling the net every single night, again, is not a big concern, because they play on a hockey team where you're not looking down the bench saying, these are the only two guys that can do this for us, and boy, oh boy, if they don't, we're in big trouble here. I don't think it's an issue at all. I really don't. And you know what? You might even say, well, did it partially lead to Keith doing this, the lines? No, I don't think so. No. I mean, well, you know, we'll see what comes of it, and you know, what kind of chemistry Marner and McKayev can have with Tavares, but it's if there's a list of worries that Sheldon Keefe draws up at the end of every day, this one is somewhere below the dotted line. It's not even a thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah.
Everyone out there, go buy a copy of the Toronto Sun. Read the work. Follow him on Twitter at Coach Toronto Sun. Terry, all the best. Enjoy the game tomorrow. And, enjoy this calm before the storm because, as you mentioned, February, March, and April, not going to be many 2 days off for this team.
No, there won't. And you know what? That's okay. I mean, a lot of the teams are in the same boat, Mac. But,
yeah.
I mean, for all of the lulls we've had now, forget about it because it's not going to be the same, like I said, starting in about not quite 2 weeks, which is good. Looking forward to it.
100%. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, man.
That is Terry Cochon from the Toronto Sun. All right, on the other side, some of our favorite prop bets in the NBA, and we'll go over our favorite NHL game of the night from a betting perspective. That is coming up in a moment. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Kaz. Our Tuesday top five is a good one. We'll do it around 3:15. Top five losses that just emotionally hurt you the most. And this is because what we saw with the Buffalo Bills losing to the Chiefs. And because it's the Bills and that team. And, you know, the shame of it all with Buffalo. They did go to 4 Super Bowls. I know it's talked about all the time, but, you know, I'd still rather be the team that wins 4 AFC championship games and loses 4 Super Bowls than the other way around. You know, everyone forgets. Like, let me ask you this. Do you, this is not fair, but do you remember the 4 teams that lost to the Buffalo Bills in the AFC championship game from 90, 91, 92, 93? And also, it's not fair for you because you were not bored.
Well, I don't.
That.
Yeah, but that is a good point by you. It's just a really good question. It's like, would you rather have loved and lost or never have loved at all almost? And I don't know if I would rather get there 4 times and win, but that's coming from a guy whose team's only been to 1 finals.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
Still sucks,
I'll write that one down.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, that's a good fortune cookie one there. Bringer of Snow tweets in the Dallas Cowboys this year. The first year the Leafs were beaten by the Bruins. Yep, that was a tough one. Any year the Bruins made it past the first round. Any year the Habs made it past the first round. Any year the Capitals made it past the first round. Oh, kind of a throw in there at the end. I certainly don't have the same feeling about the Caps as I do for say the Bruins or for the Montreal Canadiens. As for some prop bets, I talked about it before. And I don't know if there's any way you're leaning, but on the Raptors game tonight, I'm going to take Charlotte. I'll take those 3.5 points. I just don't trust. Toronto doesn't have a great record against the spread when they're favored by more than 2, while Charlotte does have a very good record against the spread when they're an underdog by more than 2. Toronto's been so up and down. These teams are fairly even. So I'll take Charlotte. I like the under of 221.5. I know Charlotte's got this crazy pace of play, but it can be streaky. And we've seen, I think more teams are going to start throwing more zones at the Raptors because it's certainly been working. I like the over for assists for Melo Ball at 7.5 assists. That's at minus 105. Scotty Barnes, over assist total of 3.5. But I'm going to take the under of Siakam of 39.5 for points, rebounds, and steals. I do expect a bounce back from other Toronto players, so I don't think Siakam's going to be carrying the heavy load as much. Any thoughts there, Austin, on those?
I like your player prop bets. You become the player prop master over there, Matt. As far
doing
as
well.
The actual game goes, I like the over in this. Charlotte shot the ball very poorly last game against the Hawks. I don't think that continues. I think that's an abbreviation. Charlotte pushes the ball up the court.
Aberration. So,
Did I say abbreviation?
You said abbreviation.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. We're not combining words together. Oopsie daisy. English, my first language. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I like Charlotte to win the game. I think they cover, and I think the over hits because they will run the Raptors off the court. This is where all the heavy minutes for Fred VanVleet and Siakam catch up to them.
Going over to the NHL, Montreal last night lost 8-2 the Wild. My favorite thing about that game, Montreal scored first. And then the Wild went on an 8-1 run. We were right about Rangers Kings taking the under as Igor Shesterkin with 34 saves. And the Golden Knights beating Washington 1-0. Robin Lehner with 34 saves. Shutout. Joining us now, because this is his last day, intern Chris, who has been fantastic in terms of giving us information and knowledge and just betting lines and stuff. He has been great. We are going to miss you, but Chris, I hate to tell you this. I'm going to need you to keep sending me emails every day, even if you are not working for TSN.
Oh, well, that's quite all right. I've enjoyed my time working with you guys, and it's fun learning this betting angle. Truthfully, I just kind of got into it at my time here at TSN just recently, and I've learned a lot, and I'm appreciative of all the feedback. Thank you.
Chris, hey, we made you thousands of dollars or millions of dollars?
Oh, good question.
I'll be a little more humble. I'll stick in the 1,000 range.
Fair, fair.
Okay. That's good. That, by the way, considering the notes you've sent us, it seems to me you've gone to the Aaron Karolnik, Al's brother, School of Degeneracy. So I love that. So I wanted to, is there anything, either NBA, NHL, NFL, tell the listeners, is there a couple prop bets or bets that you are leaning to this either tonight, tomorrow, or this weekend?
Well, let's start in the NHL. I was looking at the Panthers-Jets line tonight. Florida's plus 155 on the puck line, minus 1.5. And I really like your chances of covering that tonight. The Panthers, over their last 10 games, they're 7-2-1. They're averaging 4.7 goals per game. That's first in the NHL. They're only allowing 2.6 goals per game. And they're tied for fourth in the NHL in that stat. So really, all cylinders are firing right now for the Panthers. I also like Alexander Barkov, anytime goal, plus 125. Barkov's been on fire since coming back from injury. He's got 9 goals over his last 14 games. So that's definitely an angle I'd be looking at tonight. And even looking a little bit ahead for futures, I don't mind the Panthers to win the Stanley Cup right now. They're at plus 700.
Sorry, we lost Chris.
Oh, God, that's such a shame.
Yeah, I just think that that's pretty good value for a team that really looks like a juggernaut right now. I mean, they could get even better as we approach the trade deadline. We've heard them linked to Jacob Chychrun, John Klingberg, and, it's going to be tough in the Atlantic for the rest of the way out.
And that's my only nervous thing is betting any Eastern team on the futures just because of the East. How about we agree on this? Carolina, plus 123 on the puck line tonight, taking on Vegas. It is back-to-back for Vegas. They played last night, and as you mentioned, Carolina scored at least 4 goals in 10 of their last 11 games, and I know that because the guy we're talking to, Chris, sent me that info earlier today. Hey, Chris, wanted to wish you all the best. Thank you for all the help you've done on this show, and hopefully we see you sooner rather than later.
Thanks so much, guys. You guys have really been awesome, and we'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Take care. That is intern Chris, who did a great job helping out this show. I think he's also helping out the morning show as well. And I do mean that, by the way, in not only Chris, who's fantastic. That's the reason we brought him on. But Vegas, Carolina at home. You're not getting great odds with them at minus 176. And again, if you're new, you got to bet $176 to $100. So you take the puck line, means they got to win by more than one goal. Then you get it at plus 123. It's nothing against Vegas. Vegas is a good team. But Carolina at home, really good team. Back-to-back for the Golden Knights. So that's one other hockey play. I don't know, Austin, if you have any other hockey plays before we move on.
I'm with intern Chris on that. I like most of all Barkov anytime goal scorer in that game. And I do think the Panthers will win by more than a goal and a half. As much as I hate saying it, Matt, I think we need to teach Chris about the market and what we say to appeal to the market. And that's not saying that the Panthers will win the Stanley Cup, Chris. Come on now.
Yeah, that's a shame on you for that. Moving back, today is the day we find out who is in and who is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And again, all eyes are on Curt Schilling, on Roger Clemens, and Barry Bonds. So here is Stephen A. Smith weighing in on Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame.
Roger Clemens, nobody was bothering him. And then he wagged his finger in front of everybody and said, hell, I dared him to summon me to Capitol Hill. So they said, sure, and they did it. That's stupid, okay? So he deserved to be banned because of that, but that's the only reason. He was absolutely phenomenal as a baseball player, as a pitcher, even though obviously his game elevated once he departed from Boston after his first 13 years in Boston, and we know that's because of steroids. But keep in mind, they didn't start testing for steroids until 2003. Okay, he was on a ban list before that, but they didn't start testing until 2003. And Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before steroids. So you could put them in the Hall of Fame and just put an asterisk next to their name, but to try to get us to forget about them and their greatness while you've profited off of them is egregious. And by the way, neither of them should be in the Hall ahead of Pete Rose. It's time for the world to forgive him and put him in the Hall of Fame because he certainly didn't cheat the game while he was playing.
Okay, what I love about that is the classic gas bag where you're going in one direction, but then you sneak in another hot take on the other end. And by the way, like if we were ever going to do a list of the greatest sports conversation, debates, arguments, the sports cliches, the what the hell are we going to talk about, the should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame, that is in the Hall of Fame of classic sports debates.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's got to be up there with some of the all-time. I think that is the preemptive one. Like, I think that's the ultimate one.
Well, the ultimate is going to be like best quarterback to never win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, that's Dan Marino, though. Does anyone ever argue with that being Dan Marino?
Actually, you know what? Now I'm trying to think about who. Dan Fouts?
Yeah.
Nah, that's not as good as Marino. It's not as good as Marino.
No, for my whole life, though, the Pete Rose one is like, this guy is the all-time leader in hits, and he's not in your Hall of Fame? How does that, when it's for stuff he didn't do while he was playing? What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it is. But you can also always do the, I mean, now the modern one, LeBron versus Jordan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is quarterback blank elite? Is just we can dine off of that one for ages. The value of quarterback wins, and you know you can go up and down. But yes, the and we're waiting today to find out who is in the Hall of Fame. As I said earlier, Schilling needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Clemens needs to be in the Hall of Fame, and Barry Bonds absolutely needs to be in the Hall of Fame. These are the guys that you would pay to watch. These are the guys who made you very, very nervous when they, whenever they faced your team. Just spinning the wheel real quick of news that's going on. The Vancouver Canucks hire player agent and former NCAA forward Emil. Why am I doing this story? There's no way I'm going to pronounce Emil Castanguay. How does she say her last name? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this story, Austin? Do you know how to pronounce your last name?
No, it's not on my rundown, Matt.
Damn it. And the new Canucks, she's the first female assistant GM in franchise history. She became the first NHLPA female certified agent back in 2016. We wish her the best of luck, despite the fact I kind of just completely quit on trying to say her last name. Daryl Morey reportedly still angling to bring in James Harden. I don't know. I feel that's just people trying to leak information. And maybe the saddest story going on, in an attempt to limit public ticket sales for the NFC title game, the Rams notified Ticketmaster users yesterday that only residents of the greater LA region could purchase tickets. It's gone so bad, Andrew Whitworth's wife, Melissa Whitworth, put out to Twitter and said, please don't sell your tickets to 49ers supporters. She even offered to buy them herself. That's an expensive promise. Those are thousands of dollars a ticket. But, Austin, that always, man, that's a bad look for your team when you are begging people, don't sell your tickets, and you're trying to make it. Can you do that? You can't make it illegal that they can only be purchased in a certain geographical area.
Yeah, that seems super illegal, that if you don't have this area code, you can't come to our games. Especially bad because San Francisco's in California. Not that bad of a road trip for those 49ers fans if they really want to make it.
Yeah, Weasley. All right, on the other side, Steve Simmons is going to join the show. He's a guy who's voted for the Hall of Fame. I am curious his thoughts on what today means for him. And, you know, we'll just go over a whole ton of topics. That's coming up next right here on Gameplay. But first, traffic.